In the first part of this book, I have tried to describe the nature of the having and of the being modes of existence, and the consequences that the dominance of either mode has for man's well-being. We had concluded that the full humanization of man requires the breakthrough from the possession-centered to the activity-centered orientation, from selfishness and egotism to solidarity and altruism. In the second part of the book, I want to make some practical suggestions concerning the steps that might be helpful as preparations for the effort to move toward this humanization. The discussion of steps in the practice of the art of living must begin with a question on the answer to which all practice depends. What is the goal of living? What is life's meaning for man? But is this really a meaningful question? Is there a reason for wanting to live? And would we rather not live if we had no such reason? The fact is that all living beings, animals, and men want to live. And this wish is paralyzed only under exceptional circumstances, such as unbearable pain, or, in man, by the presence of passions such as love, hate, pride, loyalty, that can be stronger than the wish to live. It seems that nature, or if you will, the process of evolution, has endowed every living being with the wish to live, and whatever he believes to be his reasons are only secondary thoughts by which he rationalizes this biologically given impulse. We do, of course, need to acknowledge theoretical ideas of evolution. Meister Eckhart has made the same point in a simpler, poetic way. If you ask a good man, "Why do you love God?" you will be answered, "I don't know, because he is God." Why do you love truth? For truth's sake. Why do you love justice? For the sake of justice. Why do you love goodness? For goodness' sake. And why do you live? On my honor, I don't know. I like to live.